good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good evening. If you'd like to keep your Bibles open at that passage, and let's pray together. Lord, we've just sung about you having your way among us, and we pray that your word would be able, we would allow your word to touch our lives this evening in practical ways, in ways that touch us within. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, last week Will kicked us off with our new sermon series looking at the one another phrases in the New Testament. And the idea for that sermon series came out of the sixth planning meeting, because we've been thinking about what we want the sixth congregation to be like, how we want to grow as a community of believers, as expressed in this particular service at St. Nick's. And so our series is entitled Christ-like Community, as we seek to model ourselves on Jesus and be more like him together. Last week we looked at the foundational command to love one another. And in fact, I noticed that today's passage is entitled Love. So I think we read here how that essential, practical and sacrificial love that Will spoke of is expressed in practice. So this reading has lots of instructions in it. They've sort of got the simple, practical energy to them. They're just a sort of no-nonsense picture of Christian living, and just simple and hopefully clear. And one of the ways in which love is to be manifest, which is our focus for this evening, is to honour one another. And that's in verse 10. So to honour one another, what might this mean? I've got some pictures here of the different ways that we use the word honour today. It's going to work for me. Okay, does anybody know what this is? What medal this is? This is an MBE. So here an honour is like a prize or a reward, and my friend Pat was granted an MBE, and I googled it, and it says, Goodwin, Ms. Patricia Irene, for service to the community in Abingdon, Oxfordshire, New Year's Honours 2004. So we honour people in that way, don't we? And then we honour people who have died in service. This is one of the repatriations at Brize Norton, and people are buried with full military honours, is what we talk about. We hold someone in high esteem for the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that they have made for their country. And then we honour someone at their funeral. We remember and we celebrate something of their life. I often find myself using the word honour at a funeral, that this person should be respected and honoured as a person valuable to God, if for no other reason. And then to honour someone is also about making them proud or happy. And sometimes in a marriage proposal it might go, would you do me the honour of being my wife, Ed? Is that what you said?
What was that phrase? Will you marry me?
Oh. So he missed out on the honour. But nevertheless, we congratulate you today. And and we know that you are indeed proud and happy. Hope everybody's cottoned on to Ed and Charlotte's news. Okay. And then there's the banquet that we have in honour of someone. This was Barack Obama coming to this country and having a banquet with the Queen, and that's about an important person who's worthy of special treatment and special hospitality. And then we call a judge Your Honour, which is a respectful term. And finally, we talk about honouring an agreement or a contract that we've entered into. So those are just a few ways in which we use honour today. So as we look at honouring one another tonight, we're going to look at this with three really simple questions in mind. The first one is, honour one another, how? How do we do that? Basically, the dictionary definition is something like, to honour someone is to have great respect for them, to hold them in high esteem, to see them as important, and to treat them with special attention. But let's see what the Bible says. In verse 10, it says, honour one another above yourselves. So it's about putting others first. It's not about me and my need to be recognised and honoured. It's about yours and yours before mine. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. That's how we're to honour one another. In verse 9, love, we read, was to be sincere. And our honouring of each other as an expression of love must be genuine and sincere. It's agape love that the Bible's talking about here. And that's unconditional. That's not based on how lovable someone is. It's a love that's without hypocrisy. We're not play acting, but we genuinely want to honour someone else. In our society, there's perhaps a lot of store put on not being hypocritical. So the logic sort of goes that if I don't like someone, well, how can I love them? And if I'm commanded to love them, but I'm only acting as if I do, doesn't that make me a hypocrite? But we need to remember that for Paul, love is not about how people feel, but about what they do. As Will said last week, it's sacrificial, there's a cost to it, and it's practical. Helping other people out in their need, rather than necessarily having warm feelings towards them. I think that the outworking of honouring someone is practical. It involves things that we can simply choose to do, almost regardless of how we might feel about that person. Because probably if we wait until we're absolutely sure of our feelings or absolutely sure that our motives are right, then we might never do anything. And sometimes by honouring someone, we can find that our feelings will follow. So we honour each other when we support each other in practical ways, making sure that we each have what we need. Verse 13 says, share with God's people who are in need. We honour each other by meeting each other's needs, which in turn, of course, means that we have to be willing to share what our needs are if someone else is going to be able to meet them. So that requires a degree of openness. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Is there anything I can do for you? No, I'm sure I'll manage. It's sometimes about being open about the needs that we have, so someone else can help meet them. In Acts 28, Paul is shipwrecked and he finds that he's on the island of Malta. And the people of Malta look after them. And Luke, the author of Acts, he writes in verse 10, the people of Malta honoured us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies that we needed. So meeting someone's practical needs is to honour them. And one way of doing this, verse 13 of our reading tells us, is to practice hospitality. For many cultures, the expression of honouring someone is to offer them hospitality, and particularly food. This would have been the case in Paul's day and is still the case, particularly in cultures and countries across the Middle East. In 2017, according to the Charities Aid Foundation World Giving Index, the nation with the highest ranking of kindness to strangers is Iraq, a war-torn country fighting to end the occupation by ISIS. Yet despite desperate living conditions, 8 out of 10 Iraqis in January 2017 had helped someone they didn't even know. I wonder how good we are at hospitality in our church. I know some people are very good at it. For me, hospitality doesn't come easily. I think it's got a degree of vulnerability about it, and lots of things go through my mind. For one, I'm not sure about inflicting the food I serve to my family on my unsuspecting fellow Christians. I worry about the state of the house, the judgment that you'll make of me about the way I live. And I always feel that I have to serve up something amazing when I also believe that it's more important that people get together than the excellence of the cuisine on offer. Honouring someone is practical, and we need to practice it or pursue it, which is what the word suggests. And then to honour someone is to treat them with respect, to treat them as being valuable and to give them your special attention. And one of the ways we can do that is to listen to people, really listen to them. And again, in Acts 5, Peter and the other apostles are being persecuted, and the Supreme Jewish Court wants to put them to death for the things they're saying about Jesus. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel stands up, and he saves the day with his wisdom. It says, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honoured by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a while. And then he addressed the council. So if you consider someone as worthy of honour, you listen to them. Listening is to give someone time. It's a precious commodity in our world today. It's not half listening while you think about something else, not thinking more about the reply that you're going to give than what someone is saying to you, not trying to come up with a solution, but listening. We're to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, verse 15 says. So we need to listen to what's happening in people's lives if we're going to be able to do that. And we honour people in how we speak to them and how we speak about them when they're not around. Let's honour one another with our words. That may be through appreciation, to voice our thanks for what people do. Make sure that those who serve here at the Six know that they're appreciated for all that they do to make this time run well. And in this day and age, we have to be careful what we say about people in emails or on social media. With that easy, quick communication, we have to be sure not to say things that do not honour people. I remember one of my bosses who sent an email with the name of a difficult social work client in the subject line. Her downfall was simply adding an exclamation mark after his name, which spoke volumes about how she viewed him, and became a problem when he saw the email. As verse 14 says, we bless and we do not curse. We use our words to build up, not tear down, to encourage and bless, not make people feel useless or small. We honour one another by being careful what we say and how we say it, and we're respectful with our words. Between 2008 and 2012, I worked as a social work complaints manager, and I loved that job. I met some great characters. But one of the things that I learned was that at the heart of virtually every situation was that there was a point when a person felt disrespected or not listened to, and that sowed the seed that led to their complaint at a future date. To honour one another is to listen, to offer time, to respect, and to be careful with our words. And we also want to honour one another by seeking to live in harmony together, verse 16, and by doing all we can to live in peace with one another, in verse 18. We honour someone by seeking peace. And when there's disagreement or difference, seeking to resolve it. But I like that verse because the Bible also seems to acknowledge that there may be some who do not wish to honour us back, who do not have reconciliation in their heart. And so all we can do is our bit. We cannot control another person's response to us, but we can play our part. And alongside that, we show love and honour by not seeking revenge. And that's not always easy. Evil is real, it hurts, sometimes badly, and it matters. And probably many of us, if we had the courage, we'd love to get our own back on someone. But this passage seems to tell us that we should rid ourselves of any desire for revenge, that we should actively seek to honour even those who have wronged us. Here in the church, we're not immune from letting each other down, saying the wrong thing, holding a grudge or two. But we're called to honour one another above ourselves, even when this happens. So that's how we honour one another. And then there's honour one another, well, who? This reading is really divided into two sections. The first, verses 9 to 13, and the second, from verse 14 onwards. And it's basically divided between the Christian community and then the world around us. In terms of this sermon series, we're particularly concerned with what it means to honour one another as Christians so that we can build a community that reflects Jesus. Look with me at verse 10. It says, "Be devoted to one another in love." And here there are two words that provide the model for the church. The word for devoted is philostorgos, and that refers to the love of parents for children, while the word for brotherly love is philadelphia, which refers to sibling love. So our relationships are to characterise a family, the sort of intimacy that we associate with family members. Now, there can be some difficulties with this image. I wonder if you've ever looked around your family or another family, perhaps the family you've married into, and thought, crumbs, aren't they weird? I certainly have. Or it may be that your experience of family life is that people have simply let you down, and actually you've had enough of the notion of family even before you thought about joining a Christian community. And maybe your experience of the Christian family is that many people in the church are pretty odd as well, and not that friendly, and not necessarily people you want to spend a lot of time with. But all that aside, Paul does set the love of family as the ideal characteristic of our life together. That's good news if we can take on some of the characteristics that mark a family when it's working at its best. That may be commitment to each other, simply because we're in the same family, even if we're different. A sense of standing against the world together, if necessary. Knowing that someone would put themselves out for you if you needed them to. Knowing that you'll always be loved and accepted and valued, even when you mess up or you're ill or older and not able to contribute to the life of the family as you once did. This is how we can honour one another in our Christian family too. As verse 12 suggests, we stand together as God's people, joyful as we hope for all that he promises and that is to come, patient with each other as we go through hard times, and faithful in praying together. There's that saying that goes, the family that prays together stays together. And we are to share generously our lives as well as our resources. And then there's those in the world around us that we are to honour too. Bless those who persecute us. Pray for them. Use words of blessing. And set about doing good, showing acts of kindness even to those we might consider our enemy. By honouring those we meet, we will be witnesses to those around us of God's love. Take a moment to thank the person who serves you in a shop. Stop and listen to your neighbour when you're out walking with the dog. Make a coffee for that colleague you always seem to clash with. Be hospitable to a stranger. And then there's someone else we are to honour. I would suggest this person is inside and outside the church. And verse 16 describes it like this. Those people of a low position. Or as other versions of the Bible put it, we are to honour people who have no status. Ordinary people, people who are not important to others. Don't be stuck up, Paul says. Make friends with nobodies. Don't become snobbish. I was once on the receiving end of some snobbish behaviour. I was at a wedding and I got chatting to the bridegroom's uncle, who was a consultant paediatrician. When I said that I was a social worker, I got this distinct impression that he was looking down his nose at me and my lowly occupation. And so, rather naughtily, I started dropping into the conversation certain things that I thought would make me more acceptable in his eyes to see what would happen. I mentioned the fact that my dad was a vicar, and I added that he knew the Bishop of Bath and Wells. And sure enough, his interest in me increased. This is not how it should be in the church, in this community at the Six, that we are to honour each other and those the world considers ordinary or even unimportant, those on the edges of our church community and those on the edges of our society. 1 Corinthians talks about the fact that church is like a body and each part of the body is needed. And chapter 12 says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So that's how, and that's who. And finally, honour one another. Why? Why should we honour one another? So just some quick reasons as we close. In Psalm 8, we read this. This is talking about God, and it's talking about humans. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. In creating us, God has crowned us with glory and honour. We each have glory and honour given to us by God. We honour each other because we each have value and honour from God. And each person, of course, is someone for whom Jesus died. Because in honouring one another, we're also honouring God. As we love and as we serve, we're also serving the Lord. Verse 11 tells us that. In these practical ways outlined in our Romans passage, we are serving the Lord and we need to keep going. And to add to that, as we serve Jesus, God honours us. Jesus spoke about this in John 12 and he said this in verse 26. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. How amazing is that? God holding us in high regard, God respecting us, God celebrating our importance because we serve Jesus. And of course, Jesus showed great honour to those he met. We have his example to follow. How he spoke to the woman caught in adultery, how he dealt with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the way he listened to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. There are so many more, of course. And thirdly, why should we honour one another? Well, we can honour others, even our enemies, or those who give us no honour back, because we can trust God to deal with people too. We don't need to be in control of it all. Look at verses 19 and 20. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. So we don't take revenge, but we serve our enemies, leaving them in God's hands. Now this passage can make it sound like we will do good to our enemy because then they'll get a more severe punishment from God and we'll have got them anyway. Ha! But it's not that. Burning coals may stand for two things. It may stand for shame, that someone may feel shame when they've experienced kindness, or it may stand for repentance. In an ancient Egyptian ritual, a penitent would carry burning coals on his head as evidence of the reality of his repentance. Coals are a symbol of a change of mind. Our job is to honour one another, to love and to serve our enemies, and we leave the rest to God. And finally, why do we honour one another? Well, I think it helps to read the start of chapter 12 to put it into context why we honour. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We honour one another because we have received God's mercy, and we offer that mercy to each other. We honour one another because we no longer live for ourselves. We offer our lives in worship to God. We are living sacrifices who make sacrifices. And we honour one another because as a Christian community, we want to model something different in our relationships. And we don't want to fit into the world's pattern. So let's pray together. Thank you, Father, that you have made us and crowned us with glory and honour. Thank you for Jesus and the way he treated those he came across when he walked on this earth. Make us more like him, Lord, able to honour one another in how we listen and speak and support each other. Grow us, use us, and change us here in this community, here at the Six. Amen.